Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Keep texting us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, or head to ashleyfinefloors.com. Tyler has texted us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line and says, so, Spec is cherry-picking the fact that Carolina and Toronto are out in their analytics stream. Somebody needs to tell Spec that Pittsburgh, Washington, Tampa, and Colorado are also big into analytics, as is Vegas. Interesting. We're going to head off into the River Cree Resort Casino hotline, 780-496-0063, the River Cree Resort Casino. Excitement bet on it. And we welcome back to the show a man who's hired and gotten analytics people hired. He's the former general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning. He started Octagon's agency, the number one pick in the 1983 NHL entry draft, Brian Lawton, for our friends at Wow Factor Desserts. Help yourself to irresistible dessert delights at their new retail location, 3508 56th Avenue in Edmonton, or click online at wowfactordesserts.com. Hello, Brian. How are you doing?
That's all true, Bob. I'm doing well. And the reason that I love analytics and I believe in it for an organ is because all the mistakes I made as an agent, where I passed on kids like Duncan Keith and Masters, just led me to conclude there's a better way to do it. And I consider myself an elite scout that picked many more good players than bad. But it doesn't matter how good you are. You need this additional information. It just makes your decisions that much better. Organizations that don't have it, probably the biggest loss to them is that they're missing the low-hanging fruit because there's still a lot of it left in the NHL.
All right. When you were a GM in Tampa Bay, who did you hire?
I hired a guy by the name of Michael Peterson. This was back in 2009. Michael was a mathematician from a small school in Central Florida. Very, very academic. Very little hockey background. This was early on in this whole revolution. We hired Michael. The first day I walked him down to the coach's office and I said to the coaches, meet your new best friend. We started him there. He's gone on and done an incredible job for the Tampa Bay Lightning. Steve Yzerman almost let him go when he took over. There was a little bit of begging and groveling to give him a chance. I think Stevie loved him by the time his time was done in Tampa.
And if you looked at the trade that they made for Tanner Janot, the trade went down on a Sunday night because you told me the trade was going down. And I'd reached out to a couple of people in our organization to, you know, because it was not out there yet. The Golden Bears were playing that night. I remember I was driving to the arena. And the line afterwards from Julian Breezebaugh about the draft capital that he gave up and factoring in the window of going and getting Tanner Janot right now. And why? Because, I mean, Janot is an atypical analytics player. I mean, he's a physical, tough guy. He was compromised the entire playoff series against Tampa Bay. But that's all part and parcel to the valuations that an analytics team would, as an example, have for the actual draft capital, isn't it?
It is. It's 100%. You know, I think for years, we both, particularly in the past, we really overvalued the value of draft picks. We just have. That's kind of the prevailing thought out there. When you think about it, how many guys really make it? Yes, you tend to get a lot of your key players. And yes, the teams that seem to win championships appear to have their Datsyuks or Zetterbergs. I don't really count the Fedorovs when I'm talking about Detroit, obviously, but only because there was some discounts for guys way back when,
yeah,
due to them playing overseas and not really being a strong possibility to come. So, and we might actually see a little bit of that this year in this draft, just by chance. So that'll be interesting to watch how that plays out.
Can you explain that to me? How so?
The there's one player in the top five right now on most teams that I talk to. That's Russian. Okay. Has a deal with St. Petersburg, and he's got a contract till 24-25, and it's very likely that he won't come over before then.
So he's gonna fall.
Player.
He's gonna fall.
He, in my opinion, he will definitely fall, but the reports are so strong on him. His game is strong enough where I don't think he'll fall as far as people think, but I don't believe he'll be picked in the top five.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Because how do you compare leagues to leagues? And this sort of stuff was being done in rotisserie-style baseball, baseball abstract, Bill James, all that kind of stuff back in the 1980s. Like, how do you compare the old American Association to the PCL? The PCL, which was the league Edmonton was in, had, you know, higher offensive numbers because they had smaller parks, all that kind of stuff. It's really intriguing to me. I mean, I also have theories. You need to fish where the fish are for the success of your organization, Brian. So as an example, I look at historically the Edmonton Oilers. They've had success out of the WHL, the OHL, and then Sweden and Finland. They haven't had a lot of success historically out of the QMJHL, nor have they had great success in certain parts of the U.S. Like Blaine, Minnesota, they've had success. They went out, Matt Henricks and Nick Bjugstad, two pretty good guys that fit in and kind of are Midwest kind of guys, and, you know, they made sense in Edmonton. Can you draft, like, if you know that your ability to retain players, because I'm looking at, like, Calgary, you know, they couldn't get Adam Fox to commit there, and then Goodrow, you know, eventually went to free agency, and Tkachuk forced the situation out of it. They're all American players. Should you be factoring that in? I mean, you've been in the chair as a general manager. Granted, you were in Tampa. You guys could pretty much get anybody. But should an organization be factoring stuff like that in?
That's bizarre to me for Calgary because, even though we're talking on Edmonton radio, Calgary's a wonderful place to live. And certainly I'm biased, having played in the NHL for a number of games and lots of games in Calgary. I just always thought Calgary was wonderful. So those results don't fit for me because it's not everywhere that players don't want to play, but
right.
Calgary just shouldn't be that spot. Even for a guy like Adam Fox, he could say, well, Adam Fox always knew, you know, he wanted to play for the Rangers. That was kind of his team, blah, blah, blah. We changed the rules, so if these guys go 4 years, then, you know, they pick where they want to go. Those were changes that I was not really involved, but we had a player by the name of Jimmy Slater that kind of set really all of that in motion. Jimmy was a guy that...
Winnipeg Atlanta first rounder, right? Or Atlanta first rounder. He went like 30th.
Atlanta first round.
Yeah.
He went exactly 30th overall.
Yeah.
We had the work stoppage then, and Jimmy was a guy that the work stoppage got settled after July 1, and his rights had expired, and nobody knew what to do with him. So that was kind of a hybrid solution. Well, if they play 4 years, then they can do what they want, but you own them up until then, which is different than junior. They only own a player for a couple of years, and they re-enter the draft. So you got to understand all that, and you got to take it into consideration to get back to your original question. And you talk about those things as an organization. But it should be every organization's goal to make sure that you're a destination. Every organization in the NHL has selling points. The Edmonton Oilers right now, we could say Edmonton was not really a place a lot of American players wanted to go to. And yet you've had a lot of American players go there and do well.
Doug Waite, Bill Guerin.
It's your history.
Yeah.
They jump right off the page at you. So it's not impossible, but the reality is that Edmonton right now is in a much better position based off of their two star players. The fact that they're probably the most exciting team in the NHL to watch. I think fans are getting a dose of that right now, certainly in the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's sellable because anybody that needs to rehabilitate their career right now that's a good player that had an off year that's going to get a little bit stuffed in the UFA market should want to go to Edmonton, should be at the top of their list. We could say Evander Kane somewhat fell into that. He chose Edmonton because the quality of the team and the players he'd be able to play with. And yes, I don't want to insult everybody in Edmonton. I'm sure he liked the city. He's a Western Canadian kid. Certainly didn't prevent him from going there. But it's just the way the world is right now.
Well, I'll give you a scenario with Connor Brown, who's represented by Jeff Jackson, whose career took off in Erie, playing for Chris Knobloch, but playing on a line with Connor McDavid. I mean, I think he was like minus, he might have been minus 60 the year before McDavid got there. And then he ended up, you know, and so now he's in a situation where he's coming off a bad injury, tore his Achilles, and as a result, he qualifies as a guy who you could give a bonus-laden contract to. Maybe you give him $1.5 million base, and he can make another $2 million if he plays over 70 games or something like that, and that goes to next year's cap, which is important because it doesn't sound like this year's cap's going to increase that much. So is that the type of player, like if you were Jeff, would you advise Connor Brown, look, you might want to look at Edmonton because you can drive numbers and jumpstart your career. And oh, by the way, you've had success playing with McDavid before.
Yeah, absolutely you would. And of course, Jeff, you know, knows the history. Ken knows the history. I'm certain those guys, if and when it's legal, assuming he doesn't sign, we'll have that conversation. Unless somebody's willing to step up and do something that feels like a real big indication that you think he's going to be 100% and he's going to play better than you believe he left it in Ottawa, Washington, then, yeah, sure, it could happen. But it feels like exactly what you said should happen. Can't say for sure that would be Edmonton. It could be other teams as well. Tampa Bay, I would think, could offer a pretty nice landing spot.
Yep.
They don't have a lot of money. Got some pretty good players. There's a lot of teams that could. Toronto, for that matter, too. Who knows? We'll see. But yes, I would think that Edmonton would be all over that.
By the way, Connor Brown in 11-12 in Erie, but that was the year before McDavid went there, was minus 72. 2 years later, he led the OHL in points with 128 and had 44, was plus 44 with 45 goals. He has had, two 20-goal seasons in the NHL. He had a real good year a couple of years ago in Ottawa where he had 21 goals. He's a good player. He's a very useful player. Epstein's mother is Texas. We've got Brian Lawton on for our friends at Wow Factor Desserts. Help yourself to irresistible dessert delights at their new retail location, 3508 56th Avenue in Edmonton, or click at wowfactordesserts.com. Epstein's mother says, Bob, can you ask Brian, based on the fact that he's been a manager in the league and his connections with the NHL Network and all that, who are the top six or eight teams he thinks, from an analytics perspective, in the NHL?
The top teams for me are, and not in any particular order, I would say the top five would be definitely Carolina.
Yeah.
Right? We could say Carolina, who I picked to do really well, who has lost every game by less than a goal, is driven by their really impressive D. And I have to give it to them for going out and getting Brent Burns at this age, playing him 82 games, him getting, 61 points and leading their team in ice time and being a perfect fit for Jacob Slavin.
Right.
That's really good analytically. And I got San Jose to pay $2.8 million of his salary. So he's down to a 5.2 defenseman, got a couple years left. The hell of a call.
Yeah.
A lot of analytics went into that. You got to give them credit. Michael Peterson is top-notch in Tampa. No doubt about that. People would have no idea. For me, so, yes, I hired Michael. Yes, I got Tim Barnes hired for the Washington Capitals. Yes, I'm good friends with Sonny Metz. I've worked with all these guys. And the one thing that they get is game theory. They understand what their job is and how they can help a hockey team. They're not making the final decision, but they're bringing the information forward. And the information could be player evaluations, pro and amateur now, although no one's doing as good a work in amateur as they are as in pro, because it's tougher with past history, and a lot of it's based on past history.
Right.
But they also can help you figure out strategically how the team can play better, which players like Brent Burns would be a perfect fit for Jacob Slavin. There's all kinds of areas that come out of understanding game theory. And the guys that I like and the teams that do well do that. Vegas does very, very well. Vegas should not have beat Edmonton on the surface. Edmonton had the better players, but Vegas had more depth. They've made moves strategically over the years. Mark Stone, Alex Petriangelo, Jack Eichel. None of these guys are as good as Leon and Connor. That's just a fact. But collectively, it looks like they're on their way to the Stanley Cup final. That's impressive. They do a good job. Boston does a better job than you think. Toronto, I thought, pulled it together and did a good job, but I always give them a little bit of a demerit because they never quite got their ass in allocation point.
Yeah.
Right, for me. And that's just a nice way to say them too much in their core four. Should have had another defenseman of real quality, and they would have got over the hump, and they'd probably be on the way, on their way. But, you know, the GM is going to make the final decision.
Right.
Kyle Dubas is an excellent GM. Probably a little bit of inexperience in being so attached to some of his players, making some statements about, we're going to keep you here, that we're not in the best interest of the organization, in my opinion. I think Kyle's excellent. I wouldn't be surprised if he's managing Pittsburgh. But somebody needed to convince him that we need to change our composition a little bit in terms of how our money is allocated. I've said that over the years. They've gone on and had great regular seasons. I think they've stuffed me on that. But ultimately, you don't manage a club for any reason other than to win in the playoffs.
Well, and it should be stated, I mean, stats, you can manipulate them any way you want. Florida, their expected goals is they would have only won four of the 15 playoff games they played so far. The Oilers outshot Vegas 75-53 in the final two games of the series and got badly beaten 5-5 in terms of goals for and goals against goal share. But the reality is they probably created enough opportunities. They went a little bit quiet at certain times and they didn't get enough stops. And, you know, you had a goaltender steal game six. One more. Did you read the story out of Pittsburgh in The Athletic? About Brian Burke and Ron Hextall. Wow.
I saw the story by Rob Rossi. I have not read it yet today. I speak to both these people occasionally. Tell me what it said, and I'll tell you what's true or not.
Well, he basically just said that Hextall wanted to go a different direction than sticking with the core three players. And then started shipping, you know, Sullivan didn't want to play Kasperi Kapanen. Hextall believed in him as a player. And then they put a couple guys on waivers on father's trips when they're sitting there having dinner with their dads. Stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And some of this I am aware of and some of my I am not. There was a disconnect there. There was some different things that were going on. There were some different philosophies.
Right.
The team wasn't big. I think there was a feeling they should have been a little bit bigger.
Yes.
There was a little bit of despair over the John Marino trade. Still early on that, to be fair to Ty Smith, who was awesome in the Western Hockey League, as everyone knows on this phone call. But, there's a lot to unpack there. Ultimately, we'll see what they come up with for their new management and what direction they take it in. It is of note that Mike Sullivan is involved in the interview process. I played with Mike. He's a good guy. He was an assistant coach for me in Tampa. He's a very knowledgeable guy, but there just seemed like there was a little bit of a disconnect.
Oh, there's no question about it that there was. You got to read the story. It's really something. Brian, we love having you on the show. When we have you on next week, is there any chance that either the Dallas Stars or the Carolina Hurricanes are still playing by a week from now?
No, for the Dallas Stars, unfortunately. Possibly for Carolina, if you forget about the score and you just look at the games and where they've been. But, Carolina, as great as they are, they're driven by their D, but they've been exposed up front. Sebastian Aho has really been the only effective forward for all the games, and he hasn't been able to push it to a high enough level to get him over the top. So my guess would be no. But I would at least give them a chance if they can win one, and let's see what happens. They got great coaching. They do have an awesome D. Bobrovsky's just playing so well that it feels unlikely.
Yeah. Love having you on the show, Brian. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure, Bob. Thank you.
That is the former general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning, most recently with the NHL Network, interviewed for multiple times for a GM job last year in the West, was the guy that started Octagon's player agency. That's the agency that has Leon Draisaitl, by the way, and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and was the number one pick in the 1983 NHL entry draft. Brian Lawton, for friends at Wow Factor Desserts, help yourself to irresistible dessert delights at their new retail location, 3508 56th Avenue in Edmonton, or click on wowfactordesserts.com. Do want to tell you, guests on the show receive gift cards to Japanese Village, Edmonton's favorite teppanyaki steak restaurant. Book your celebration for the census today at jabedmonton.ca. It's 125. We'll step out. This is Oilers Now.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Tina Turner passing away today at the age of 83. The Edmonton Oilers last won the Stanley Cup in 1990. Molstar produced a video of the playoffs that year. This was the song that they used to roll out as the Edmonton Oilers were celebrating the tea party in Boston en route to a rather convincing 4-1 series victory in which they outscored the Boston Bruins 21-8. Glenn Anderson lit Ray Bourque up twice in that game with just undressed him. Craig Simpson, Glenn Anderson, and Mark Messier were off the charts in the final two games of that series. We will head off to a Global News weather traffic update and come back with the Cult of Hockey's David Staples. We're gonna go to the one and the only Randy Kilburn, and then back with David.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.